Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Up, bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's Friday, October 4th, which means it's October, which means it's my birthday month, but also spooky month.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Oh. That's the only song that starts playing for me when this season hits. It's not Christmas. Well, mm-mm. Christmas is a close second. Mm-hmm. Halloween takes the cake. Walk. For me, because I love a festival and a carnival, and I'm booking them up. I'm like, there's only so many weekends. We got to hit them all.
Yeah, there's something for everybody and something every weekend or every even like weeknight. But I feel like as a kid, Cartman's mom, when she's decorating for Halloween, is singing that. And I remember being like, that's weird. And then you grow up and you go, she was right. Mama Cartman was right. It is. It is. Because, you know, you have to stress out about buying gifts. You know, some people like buying gifts. But I feel like Halloween is about dressing up, having gathering together, celebrating the bountiful harvest of the year.
And being spooky and scary and all those things that we love so much. So I think there's no better way to mid-October celebrate, later third of October celebrate, than have our final show for the Full Moon Energy Tour on October 17th in Dallas at the Texas Theater.
Hell yeah.
Claimed historic Texas Theater, for those of you not from here. This is where Lee Harvey Oswald was captured the day of the assassination of JFK. So it has a very storied history. We've performed there before. It was so much fun, and we are so excited to go back.
Yeah, we can't wait. It's going to be our Full Moon Energy Tour on the full moon of October, the Hunter's Full Moon on October 17th. I saw a post today that said it is going to be the largest full moon of the year, just because of the placement of the moon. So it's no surprise that that is when we're going to close out our Full Moon Energy show. And we, if you don't know what it is a night all about our lunar sister up there, what it does to us, what lurks up there, what people really think happened during the Apollo missions. We bring in all the favorite things that you love about the show, but it is a totally separate special show written for the stage and performed at pretty much our favorite venue in Dallas. We love the Texas Theater for so many reasons, not only its history and all the badass events it has all year long, including the Video Crypt. If you are in Dallas and you're not familiar with the Video Crypt, it is a pop-up video store art installation. It's back for its third year upstairs at the Safe Room Gallery at the Texas Theater. And guess what? We have a shelf.
We got a shelf. It's like when Blockbuster would do staff picks. I feel like this is, I'm living out my dream of having a like Blockbuster Seinfeld staff pick shelf right
now. It's like Seinfeld. Is this one of Jean's picks?
Yeah.
And it's like, do you have my VCR button on a necklace around your neck? And she's like, yes, here you go. Yeah, I hope Jean picked ours from Seinfeld. Yeah, that's moon, spooky moon theme. So go see our picks at the Video Crypt. It's going to be, it's open right now. The hours of the Texas Theater, I believe, but check out. We'll link their social media on ours and also in our show notes. But you go in and you get to browse. Paris and I went last year. It's so cool. It's such nostalgia. Like, it really did feel like going to a video store, except I found things that I hadn't seen or thought about, movies and stuff like that, in like compilations of kid shows that I hadn't seen or thought about since I was little. And then I was like, can I have this? And they're like, no, it is an art installation. Please put it back. But it does just bring up all that stuff. So we're so honored that we get a special full moon energy shelf.
I'm so excited. It's going to be a great way to end what has been a great tour. So there are still tickets available, but it is probably going to sell out. VIP has already sold out, but you can go to sinisterhood.com/live shows to secure your tickets now. It's going to be a special one, not just because the moon, but because Heather's wearing a sparkly cape made out of denim.
I'm literally looking at it right now, and my mom finished it.
I've yet to see it.
You haven't. I don't. Do you want to see it beforehand? Do you want me to walk down in it?
You know what? I want to be surprised. Okay. I mean, I'll see it probably in the green room.
Yes.
But I want to be surprised by it.
I'm most excited about the back of it. That's just me, the excited about the back of me. No. What is that, Meredith on The Office? Men usually want to film the back of me. But I love the whole thing. And my mom spent so much time and effort.
Aww.
And the bottom is a patchwork quilt of the bottom half of jeans that my dad cut off because he would kneel when he delivered newspapers, and he would always get a hole in the knee of his jeans. And instead of throwing them away, my mom would cut them off. So my dad would wear jorts that my mom made for him. Well, she, because she doesn't throw anything away, had a sack of cut off jean short, like the bottom length of pants. So between those and some extra pairs from my brother-in-law Aaron, my mom made a little patchwork. So it's like my dad's jean pants.
And I love that.
It has so many features. I can't wait to show it off. But it's our, the culmination of all the live shows we've done. And we had so much fun the last time we had a special show at the Texas Theater. You can go on our Patreon, actually. I just watched a little bit of that today. I was finding something else on Patreon, and I was like, damn, that show was fun.
I was just watching
the first 5 minutes.
It was like, fun. That was a really fun show. And that was about the Texas Theater. So go watch that so you get the lore and the history of the theater, and then come to the theater to see a show all about the moon.
All about the moon. Well, we appreciate y'all letting us take a couple days off here. We were doing exciting things. I took Nancy to the fair, which was fun. It's her favorite place on Earth. But more importantly, you, if you would like to talk about some new friends at your house. No?
Yes.
Maybe?
Well, yes. I was going to save it for the end
because of one of our stories.
No, but I'll just trigger warning. We did have a loss of a pet when we were in Vegas for that stretch of shows. We're not sure what happened, but Pearl passed away. It was very tragic. I went to clean their crate like the day after we got back and found her, and it was very upsetting. So that is one reason that we took off, also the fair. And also Ella and I had a mother-daughter camp out with her school this past weekend, which was incredible. It was so fun. But I literally slept for 24 hours straight when we got back because I was so exhausted. But then We buried Pearl under a very pretty tree in our yard and took some time. And then I knew I wanted to like adopt our next ones. And my mom is also in the process of looking for a dog to adopt. And she just happened to find two guinea pigs that were paired together at the Keller Animal Shelter, and the names the shelter gave him were Taylor and Swift, and the whole bio was like Taylor Swift theme. So I was like, this is a sign. I have since renamed them Thelma and Louise.
So good.
So we are in the process of introducing them to Luna. They can't be in the same crate just yet. We've also ordered a like 8-foot giant thing that's coming for them. We're about to deck out these guinea pigs.
The studio will not look the same soon because y'all are have to, you're literally where you currently record, you're moving your whole desk to a different wall to accommodate the gals. They gotta have their spot. This is like your people have like a man cave. You have like this like chill pad where it's like all your cool spooky stuff, your tarot stuff, your guinea pigs. This is where you do your podcast.
My guinea pigs.
It's great. It's like a whole space just for y'all.
Hopefully they're not too noisy. You might hear little little minion sounds in the back, but they're super cute. Yeah, I'm excited to deck out their spot. I was like, I want it all to be spooky. And Tommy's like, so like a giant skull they can lay in? And I was like, yeah, that sounds fucking awesome.
Amazing. Oh my God, what if it looked like a haunted house? That would be so cool.
That's kind of the vibe I'm going for. I'm like, so I can't make it totally different than this room, so we have to lean in. Luckily, it's spooky season, and there's a lot of spooky guinea pig items at Petco. We have, because of the niceness of a listener at our last show, I feel like this is serendipitous. She gave us two guinea pig costumes, and we had already purchased another one, so now we just happen to have three. Aww. So all the girls have one. We have a taco and UFO with an alien coming out of it and a dragon. Who's going to be who? That's going to be dependent on who will wear what.
But that's incredible.
They all have a costume now.
Can I request? I'm happy to help in whatever way. I'm photography assistant, whatever. We got to do a costume photo shoot.
Like, I think
hold
we
the lights up and like put them. Just to the extent they want to, you know, if they're enjoying themselves. But you're right. I feel like that is serendipitous. So I'm sorry for your loss of Pearl. And she, for the short time she was with you, she was very loved by you guys, as every animal in your menagerie is. It's a part of your family. So for Thelma and Louise's sake, though, I'm glad they've got a spot with y'all, and they're about to have a big ass spot with y'all too. It's going to be big. And
they're chonkers. Luna is half the size of these two. These two are also, they think about 2 years old. So they've had, they have about a year on her, but they're very sweet and cute. They like to cuddle. So I'm excited that I get to pick them up because Luna doesn't like to be picked up quite just yet. Can you hear her? They're just over there going, man. Their noises are so funny.
I get to meet them tonight. Y'all don't be jealous, but I get to go meet them tonight. So. I just wanted to thank everybody because that's what we were doing. If you're ever like, y'all took a day off, what are you doing? I was like, well, my mom was smearing mustard all over a corny dog with her hand because that's how you have to do it.
I was burying a guinea pig and going on a camping trip.
Yeah, dude, that camping trip. When you were showing me the pictures, I was like, oh, this is all every picture. You have pictures of every moment all day. Every day from like 7 a.m. to like 11 p.m.
Yeah. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Incredible.
My body really took a beating. I got real brave and was like, yeah, I'll go head first down this fucking three-hilled water slide. Let's do it. Wow. I hit that second hill and my life flashed before my eyes. I was like, I'm not going to stop. I'm going straight through that fence at the bottom. Luckily, I leveled out at the end, but I got down to the bottom a good 20 seconds before Ella did, just because I'm so much bigger and went so much faster.
It does. Gravity will take you, baby. But you know what? You did it. That's a core memory, man. I do have good memories of like going down water slides with my dad and stuff as a kid.
Oh, so yeah.
That stuff sticks, man. Still, even all
it was fun.
Later.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, damn, there was a lot of fun. So thank you all for being patient with us while we took some time, but we're back now. We got a new Freaky Friday, and we'll have an all-new episode for you next week, too.
Mm-hmm. And what a lineup we had today. Thanks to everybody for sending them in. Thank you, Christy, for curating these. As always, every story, either shocked, saddened, love. I mean, it takes you through the emotions, as we always do.
And it's I thought of you on that water slide.
At the fair, I did think of you because I walked down the midway and I, on my way to at the love, I wasn't going to ride the love bugs. I was just walking down the midway and they had those like little, you know, where you walk through the funhouse. And like you said, the big bubble part there at the end. And I was like, we got some bubbles for y'all today. We're doing the bubbles. But congratulations to that couple I saw get married in front of the love bug on State Fair opening day. And, you know, one thing when you get married in front of a state fair thing on the midway is you can't control the song that's playing while you're saying your vows. Mm-mm. I don't know that they would have selected Moves Like Jagger, but that's what the good Lord sent down to him. And then, you know, for the objections, nobody objected, but the man on the thing sure did say, let me hear you scream. So, actually, like I said, congrats to the happy couple. It was
congrats.
I was sobbing. They were so in love. There could have been explosions going on. They wouldn't have known. They were just madly in love, locked in with each other. So, I love. She had a bouquet of corny dogs. It was the best wedding I've ever been to.
No, she did.
Yes, she did. She did. She did. It's phenomenal. I was sitting there eating roasted corn. I just wandered up because a crowd had gathered. And you know me, I love a crowd.
Of course.
And I'm just sitting. I'd gone to the fair alone. I was meeting my cousin later. I'm just wandering around eating corn by myself. And I just walk up and go, what's going on? And the news was there, CBS News. And a producer goes, there is a wedding going on. I just walked up to the news producer. What's going on around here? And I'm sitting there eating my corn. And I thought, well, I'm eating corn at a wedding. This is a little bit rude. But, you know, given the pirate ship. In the background, swinging.
I think it was expected. Did they say, you may now bite the dog instead of kiss the bride? And then they each had to take a bite of a corny dog?
They may have done that. I will say, right when they handed her the bouquet of the corny dogs, she dropped them all on the ground. And they had to, there was everyone kind of, but it's okay. There was a scramble and she picked them back up. So they became sort of symbolic.
Don't eat those.
Mm-mm. You're going to have to bronze them and just keep them forever.
What if Big Tex had said, I object? That's my woman.
Yeah, what a time. Well, we love it. Well, the state fair will be going on during our live show. So if you make it to Dallas, don't miss it.
Oh, that's true.
If you want to get married, I am ordained in the Church of the Subgenius, and I will wed you at the Love Bugs. But
make a whole weekend of it. Come to our show on Thursday and then stay for the fair.
It's a great time.
We're going to go. We didn't go last year, but we're going this year. Ella got a free ticket from school.
Hell,
I remember getting those as a kid.
Oh, man, that was like the best. And I'd be like, can we go on free ticket day? And my mom's like, no, because everything's full price. We're going on Dr. Pepper $2 Tuesdays, where everything was only $2. They don't have that anymore. Now they have. Anyways, lots has changed about the fair. I'm working on an essay about it, so y'all just buckle up. I've been writing about the fair.
You got to send it to bigtex@statefair.org.
And he's like, I'll take it under advisement.
Oh, well, in the meantime, we've got a plethora of stories for you. So I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Della, and it is called A Local Axe Murderer. Hi, ladies. A friend of mine recommended the podcast several years ago, and I have been listening ever since. She and I like to joke that I am Christy and she is Heather, Capricorn, Scorpio, respectively. I'm a new mom. She's in the legal profession. We love Taco Bell. She lives for your Zach Bagans and Love Island takes. There are so many similarities. If you ever come to upstate New York, hit us up. I think we would hit it off. On to the story. When I was in high school, I had a classmate that lived a block or two from the school, so we often walked to her house after class. One fall afternoon, laden with snacks from the local Stewart's, a local convenience chain known for its ice cream, we passed one of the houses in her neighborhood, and I noticed something unusual, the unmistakable hue of police tape. Taut yellow strips zigzagged the property line, cordoning off the otherwise inviting suburban home. My friend and I exchanged glances, but shrugged and went about our business. This was in the time of flip phones and also being 14 or so, so we were pretty absorbed in our own lives and didn't read newspapers or pay much attention to conversations being had by adults. Over the coming weeks, however, I began to hear things at school. Details about a grisly murder that occurred just a stone's throw from the school. Rumors that a classmate's father was the defense attorney for the prime suspect, and tidbits from the ongoing investigation that were being reported in local media. Eventually, I connected the dots. I had walked past an active crime scene. The crime. In November of 2004, when Peter Porco failed to report for work as a state Supreme Court law clerk, his boss sent a court officer to his residence to check on him. When the officer entered the unlocked front door, he immediately noticed that the house was covered in blood. Seconds later, he saw Porco's disfigured body at the foot of the stairs. Police were called and began searching the property. Once they reached the second floor, they made a startling discovery. In the owner's bedroom, Peter's wife, Joan, lay in her blood-soaked bed with severe injuries to her face and skull, with a bloody axe on the bed beside her. A second alarming discovery soon followed. Joan was still alive. EMTs rushed to attend to Joan, whose jaw was shattered and the rest of her face severely disfigured. Fortunately, after hours of surgery, a medical team was able to save her, although she would lose one eye and a portion of her skull. It was later determined that Peter had suffered 16 blows from a sharp instrument, including one that took off his jaw and another that penetrated his skull. Incredibly, he staggered around the house performing his morning routine before succumbing to his injuries. I don't remember the timeline of the investigation and court proceedings, but a couple key details of the case became public knowledge as the case progressed. The couple had been assaulted with an axe, and though she'd been incapable of speech due to her severed jaw, Joan was conscious at the time that she was rescued by investigators and implicated her son Christopher in the attack, a fact she recanted after her medical coma. The defense would later argue that this implication constituted an excited utterance and was inadmissible in court. Subsequently, investigators uncovered a lengthy history of concerning behavior that led them to believe there was sufficient motive for the attack. Christopher had previously staged multiple burglaries of his parents' home, stealing electronics and selling them on eBay. He had failed out of school and lied to his parents about his grades and enrollment status, even going so far as to falsify a transcript, and forged his father's signature as a co-signatory on school loans and a yellow Jeep Wrangler. Among the significant electronic paper trail between father and son detailing Peter and Joan's dismay with their son's conduct, one email read, "We may be disappointed with you, but your mother and I still love you and care about your future." The movements of the yellow Jeep Wrangler on the night of the murders were used to question Christopher's alibi. Though he claimed to have been in his dorm room at the University of Rochester overnight and remained there until he was first informed of the attack, four security cameras at the University of Rochester recorded a yellow Jeep Wrangler, like Porco's, leaving the campus at 10:30 p.m. on November 14th and returning at 8:30 a.m. on November 15th, which directly overlaps the time period of the attack. New York State Thruway toll workers also claimed to remember the vehicle, and an eyewitness placed it at the Porco property around the time of the attack. During the trial, the defense argued that there was no physical evidence connecting Christopher to the crime and suggested that the murder was possibly a mob hit related to Peter's uncle, Frank Porco, a captain of the Bonanno crime family in New York City. Police did investigate this lead and found it to be unsubstantiated. On December 12, 2006, Christopher Porco was sentenced to a minimum of 50 years in prison. Another connection to the case, Christopher's employer, a veterinarian, testified that Christopher was trained in cleaning up after animal surgeries, which the jury later stated was helpful in explaining why there was no blood found in the Jeep. "We took my dog to that vet for most of his life until the vet retired. Great guy." Hope you enjoyed this tale of my brush with true crime and a mini dive into the aftermath that rattled my town. I hadn't thought about this in a long time, and in researching it, I just discovered that as recently as 2023, Christopher has filed a motion citing ineffective counsel. Thanks for reading, Della.
Well, thanks for sending, Della. This is an interesting case given that the victim is now recanting her initial indication that he had done it. And that's the issue is her head nod at the time. And then, but later her testimony said, "I don't remember anything. And no, I don't think it was him." And the head nod at the time, they still insisted on getting in. And so the way I just briefly looked at the appeal on it, and it's, usually you cannot offer an out-of-court statement to prove the truth of the matter asserted, which would be, she nodded when we asked, "Is this your son?" That is an out-of-court statement, and they're offering to prove the truth that the son did it. Well, an exception to the hearsay rule is that excited utterance. And usually it's somebody blurts something out. They don't have time to consider formulating their story. It's within a certain proximity of the incident, and they're in that physical state still. So her on the stretcher being taken away, arguably, that's the excited utterance. At trial, the court allowed it. They allowed that hearsay in. At an appeal in 2011, a four-judge appellate court said, no, it's not an excited utterance. That nod shouldn't have been admissible. However, given the extensive evidence against him otherwise, we don't think that this is reversible error. Therefore, he still stays in. And then now in 2023, he, along with his mother, are really trying to push, like, to get him out sooner. She's just begging them, please let him out in my lifetime. He's scheduled to get out in 2052 when he would be 69 years old, and I imagine she would not make it to 2052, you know.
That's rough. It certainly sounds like he was the perpetrator. I imagine it's very hard to come to terms with that as a parent, that your own kid would do that to you and your husband, his dad. So, you know, to walk a mile in that woman's shoes, I can't even imagine. When I read she was still alive, I was shocked. We all deal with things in our own ways, and there's a good chance she doesn't remember stuff due to the injuries she suffered. I almost feel like excited utterances are more believable because it is like you don't have time to formulate anything. You're just, it's like an impulsive truth that comes out in the moment.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's why courts are say generally hearsay is not acceptable unless it falls under one of these exceptions. And that's a great one. Because if you, the police run up and you run out of your house and you're like, oh my God, my neighbor Bob Smith attacked me. You didn't have time and you're covered in blood and you're like, he's coming after me right now. You know, you're just saying the truth because you need help. Not, you know, the police show up, you got dried blood on you. You're sitting on the, you know, the curb. You've been thinking about it for a while. And then they're like, now what exactly, you know, that's not the same thing. But you're suffering from the impact of the incident right then. And, you know, there's a couple of things. Dying declarations, another one where we go, nobody's going to lie. You know, she's my son did it. But like you said, our brains protect us in various ways. Yeah. So it may be that she's truly blocked it out, or she never nodded. She was twitching because she was injured or whatever, because that was severe injuries that she suffered, certainly.
Yeah, it could be that she honestly doesn't remember anything due to the severe head trauma she suffered. Well, that's it's horrible, and my stomach just drops anytime I hear about familial things like this. Nothing is ever undoable, you know, like even if you think you've disappointed your parents, like his dad said, we still love you, you know. But I don't know much about his case, but I wouldn't be surprised if mental health struggles were involved, and it sounded like he was also stealing a lot. So maybe some sort of addiction he was trying to get money for. But whatever the case, very sad and eerie to know, like, oh, you're just kind of walking down the street, like, that's weird. And then later you're like, oh, what was going on behind that door was the most horrific scene you could come upon.
Right. You're just walking home from school not knowing that it is one of the most heinous incidents in your community's history, certainly, that you're just trying to walk to the Stewarts. But
In one of the articles she linked us, there is a Forensic Files episode. If anyone is interested in that as well, we can put the link to that in our show notes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Della, for sending that in.
No, definitely. I haven't read much past this, but in the comments, there were several references to that episode going, just watch the Forensic Files episode. Like, the excited utterance aside, like, there's so much. I think the yellow Jeep sticks out.
Yeah. That's when you've got a very recognizable car, it's hard to, you know, fly under the radar. Especially when there's a ton of cameras and you just happen to not be where you say you're going to be at the exact time of the murders.
Points to
Well, thank you again, Della, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This next one is from Kennedy, and it's called "The Time My English Teacher, Candy Crush, and Donald Trump Almost Got Us All Killed." Content warning, this does involve mentions of a school shooting. Hey ladies, it wasn't until the Friday the 13th Freaky Friday, where someone mentioned how the European mind could never comprehend their normal American experience, that I realized how insane this story is. This happened when I was a junior in high school. The class I was taking was English, but our district offered a program that allowed certain criteria to be met to get a college English credit while taking a high school class. All that being said, it meant there was only one qualified teacher for this course. We can call her Ms. Crazy. In the years leading up to my junior year, we had probably 3 guns brought onto campus by kids wanting to show off or be intimidating, but they were never actively drawn, just carried in backpacks and confiscated early in the day. Our school had literal metal detectors in the cafeteria. By the time I was a junior, we were required to wear clear backpacks, and there were multiple cops on campus and safety measures. Well, I guess this wasn't good enough, because one day, a former student got into the school by simply walking in with a backpack. The story was that he had dropped out because he failed one of the core senior classes and would have had to retake his senior year. Not sure how many years it had been since he had gone there, but I'm guessing it was only 1 to 2. He had come to the school that day with a gun to kill the teacher who failed him. Luckily, one of his favorite teachers was walking in the halls at the same time he walked in, and immediately alarm bells went off for the teacher. He played it cool and talked to the kid as if he was seeing an old friend. I think it wasn't until the tardy bells sounded and the halls were cleared that the alarms went off. From what I understand, the teacher talked to him, waiting until the bell, then told the kid he needed to get to class and that he hoped to see him around. The teacher then ran to the front to get staff to lock us down, and it was handled from there. No shots were fired, but the kid started running when the alarm sounded, so it took hours to be released from lockdown as SWAT had to come in and clear every room in the building and escort us out classroom by classroom. Overall, the situation was incredibly scary, but definitely the best case scenario for the outcome. I just know that teacher went home and had a drink that night. Now to my perspective of the event. Ms. Crazy truly lived up to her name. We were almost finished with the school year, and it had been the most brutal class I've ever had to endure. She was an older white woman with extensive lore. On multiple occasions, she would drop bombshells on us, like the fact that she had a pet raccoon at home and a pet skunk, or that she married a Mexican man to get him his green card and had since divorced. I'm not kidding. She literally had a child with this man and named her America. Surely they didn't need that hard of a sell to get this man his citizenship, right? There was a time where she brought chili in for the class. I had her class later in the day, and when class started, she handed her keys to a couple of the guys and asked them to go down to her car to get the chili. I'm like, surely this bitch isn't going to try to feed me car chili. Why I thought she was bluffing, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, the boys came back with a crock pot filled with chili they grabbed from the back of her 2001 Toyota Camry. She plugged that sucker in and started scooping bowls. I declined because gross car chili made in the same house as a skunk and a raccoon wasn't exactly sparking my appetite, and because I was then a vegetarian. My grade definitely dropped due to this decision. She had these sayings she would use, such as, "Don't be kinky, dude," and "quit being squirrely," the latter being especially terrifying due to the fact that she probably used squirrel meat in the chili. And yes, she did tell 16 and 17-year-olds not to be, quote, kinky in her class. Not sure if she knew what it meant or its connotation because she used it interchangeably with quirky. As if this isn't frying your brain enough, she was a diehard Trump supporter. This is circa 2018. And looked the part. She would often bring up her political beliefs and would grade your papers that she would give a political prompt for based on her own views. So if you weren't writing as a Republican, you weren't passing. This all boils down to the day of the lockdown. We came into class, sat down, and then heard the PA system click a couple of times before the principal came on and shouted, "Active shooter, get into lockdown now. This is not a drill." The alarms went off just after that, and we all looked around in shock, and then to Ms. Crazy for guidance or some sort of confirmation that this was real. After the brief second of shock, we all sprung up and started moving desks to the door and huddling together in the farthest corner from the room. Unfortunately, each class has a glass window by the door that the teachers have a blackout cover for in the case of emergencies. Go ahead and guess who didn't even bother letting down the blackout cover. As nonchalant as ever, Ms. Crazy sat at her desk looking at her computer. People began crying and desperately texting their loved ones, too scared to make a call as it may make too much sound. Everyone was trying to coordinate tucking away their phones so they could text their loved ones without the brightness of the screen giving us away. Well, Ms. Crazy was sitting at her desk, now with her phone in her hand at full brightness, playing Candy Crush. Volume on, by the way. Imagine clinging to your peers and being convinced these were your final moments, and then you hear, "Tasty, delicious, sweet." She then started going on about, and I kid you not, how handsome Donald Trump is and how she wished she could meet him. She assured us it was just another drill as students were desperately shushing her. I got a video on my phone from a friend in a classroom with an outer-facing window, and it showed SWAT lining up ready to enter. This lowered my stress knowing it was being handled, and I could finally take in the absurdity of the situation in front of me. We all thankfully left the classroom alive that day, but it was definitely not due to any help from Ms. Crazy. By the way, my mom works in the English department at this school and told me Ms. Crazy literally left school one day and never came back, quitting literally in the middle of the year. Classic.
She just went out for a pack of smokes this, and never came back.
I don't want to... School shootings, never no. something to laugh at.
No.
But imagine you're clinging to your classmates, lights off, texting your mom, and you just hear, "Tasty, delicious, sweet." What is happening?
We're gonna die.
I hope you got your fucking chocolate ball with sprinkles that just obliterates everything. We're trying to not get obliterated while you're over there trying to match your little suckers and whatnot.
Yeah, I think I am so grateful that I never had to do a lockdown like this. Mm-hmm. I never had a situation like this. I'm so old that we didn't have clear backpacks. I mean, we had them, but our school didn't have clear backpacks, right? So the times that you and I have spoken to teachers that are our friends or students or whatever, it is scary. I mean, it's, even when they say it is a drill, but the fact that the principal said, "This is not a drill."
Yeah.
You're supposed to behave in the way that it is not a drill and it does not include crushing the candy at your desk. You mm-hmm. got to at least cover the blackout and turn the shit on silent if you want to stay at your desk. But that is not the – and that's the crappy thing about teachers nowadays. They've got so much shit on their shoulders. They got to pay for shit out of their own pockets. They not only have to be essentially like counselors, guidance counselors, surrogate parents sometimes, all this stuff, but they also literally have to be like crisis managers like in the moment. And I don't think this was like Miss C being like, "Oh, you know, don't worry, kids." It was just like, "I don't give a fuck about y'all or anything but this and my own car chili," which is such lore. That is.
Yeah.
There was squirrels in that.
You were right for not eating that one. Yeah. Not only that, but it's highly inappropriate and unethical. And I'm pretty sure goes against the rules of when you're hired as a teacher to impart your own political or religious beliefs on a class to the point where, like, if they're not writing to how you think they should, you're failing them. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle of a school shooting, you start talking about how hot Donald Trump is and how you'd like to meet him.
Mm-mm.
Bananas.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. And making them kids eat chili at the back of your car. And if they say no, you're like, "That'll be 3 points, ducked."
Right?
You're like, what is happening?
What this is not nut job.
I feel like we've all got, not maybe not in every school we've ever been to, but we all have that teacher with that background and that lore that always just makes you so grateful for the vast majority of the rest of teachers that, like, mm-hmm. the one at the beginning, like, that guy had to walk down the hallway, see who he knew should not be on campus, holding the type of backpack he knew he should not have on campus, and keep a straight face. That's like fucking CIA, FBI mm-hmm. level, like, "I maintained a calm demeanor so I didn't freak this person with a fucking gun on him out," and then to turn and immediately run to the front office to make sure that the kids are safe. Like, that's the kind of extra shit that we pile on the backs of teachers. So it always sucks when there is a Miss Crazy out there who's like, eat my chili or you're going to get your grade deducted, because the rest of the teachers are like the first guy, right? Yeah. They're like, hey, buddy, we're glad you're on campus. Like, how can I keep all the kids and myself safe? Because we all want to go home. Goddamn.
Alerting this kid to, I know that he's up to something. Well, if you didn't need another reason to go vote this November, here you go. If these are the type of people that are supporting Trump, and we don't need these people. I'm not going to go on a tangent. You can go to, I don't know. I was going to say my personal page, but really, I repost a lot of TikToks. So yeah, you can go check out all this. But for real, it's like we're laughing about it, but it's terrifying
that
people that support him are also like this and in our schools and are trying to persuade students to feel the same way. And that's just, it's not right. And also, he's a fucking monster. He's a literal convicted felon. So let's not reelect him, everybody. Please, Jesus Christ, America. We can't. Bashar told us if we choose this path, it's the termination of the United States in World War III. If we choose the female, we get open contact with aliens. Let's go with that one.
My mom with her Kamala bracelets on today was just like, what if the election doesn't go right? I was like, don't speak that. We can't speak it. We cannot speak it because I can't handle it. You know what I mean? You're just like, what do you want the world to look like? And it ain't that. I'll tell you what. It ain't this Candy Crush lady. So like you said, do your research and vote your conscience. And then my neighbors with the Ted Cruz signs in your yard, I want to be like, name five good things about this guy.
Yeah.
Because you can't. You just can't. So,
no.
All that to say, like I said, we've got all got a responsibility. And for our international listeners, we're trying, man. We're trying. I know you're looking at us like, what is wrong with all of you? Are you absolutely mad? Dude. Yeah, some people are, man.
Yeah. So, we asked the same question. My front yard looks like a polling place with the amount of signs that I did not realize we were just being delivered. I walked out one day. I guess I made a lot of donations and just all these signs in my yard. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm keeping them up. Welcome. Somebody in a neighborhood over from me has a Trump Pence sign out, but they crossed out the P and the E and added a V and an A. And that's what we're dealing with, you guys. Like, you can't even buy a new sign. You're just going to recycle that one.
I'm always like, just call the last guy and be like, hey, how was it being the VP? Like, did anyone try to threaten to like hang you or anything? Oh, they did?
Did anybody try to kill you? Or maybe start an insurrection against our nation's capital? Yeah, oh, they did try to do that? Interesting.
How much am I getting paid? I'll take the job. And you're going to give me a couch? I'm sorry. I can make J.D. Vance couch jokes forever. But anyway, if you've listened, I listened to a 2019 episode and you, back when he was the president, and I said something like, our president, da-da-da, and you go, that ain't my president. So anytime someone's like, don't get political, I'm like, did you just turn us on? This has been like this for years.
I'm taking the Larry David approach.
That's right. Alienate yourselves.
I don't give a fuck. Alienate yourselves. I am not going to stay quiet. Staying quiet is what gets us into trouble. You gotta, the good people gotta, we choose the female, Bashar told us.
Look at I'm showing you my arm. I have the Texas tattoo on my arm and I put it on at the state fair. They came and tattooed me with a Texas state. And I go, God, I look like I'm like, I love Texas. And I go, you know what? No, I do love Texas. I love America so much that I want to make it better and I want to make it a more beautiful place. So my patriotism is that I love our country. I love our state. And I think that we're better than what we are now and we can be better. And that's how I feel. So that's why I have Chevy tattoo on the back of my arm.
So what you're saying is you want to make America great again.
Yeah, hell yeah. No. I'm trying to make it great for the first time.
Exactly. For the first time in history.
We're getting there.
I'm just trying to get the alien contact, honestly.
I got you. Listen, tune into True Crime Headlines. I got you an alien story for True Crime Headlines this week.
Nice. So. Well, thank you so much, Kennedy, for sending that in. We're certainly glad that most certainly had the best outcome possible.
Yes.
But it is still so traumatizing to have to go through a real lockdown. That, like you said, the practice ones are stressful enough, but a real one, like, even though it turned out okay, that's still very traumatizing. So don't minimize that you had to go through that. Like Ms. Crazy, who's just eating a bowl of squirrel chili, trying to get her Candy Crush.
I score. Yeah, you had the SWAT team at your school. That's fucking serious. It's very sweet, yeah, despite the absurdity. But I'm glad you can look back at least with incredulity and not too much just vitriol for that bitch that left y'all in a lurch, frankly. You know, you need support when you're going through
that. Yeah, for sure. Yes. Yeah, no. That she's not equipped to be a teacher. Nah, part of being a teacher is being in charge of your classroom and being the authority figure that they look to in times like this. And you were not that, Miss Crazy.
It sounds like good for all of us. So she just wandered off in the middle one day. So good for that.
Rumor has it she's still wandering.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Well, this next one is from Sarah, and it is called We Went Screaming in the Night. In the early 2000s, I went to college in a quaint town in the Appalachian Mountains. One night, my roommate and best friend, Ashley, got the dreaded call that she needed to come out to see her grandmother one last time before she passed. I agreed to drive because Ashley's piece of shit boyfriend couldn't be bothered to drive her the roughly 90 minutes to her hometown. On our return trip, it was late and nothing was open except a rest stop. There was truck parking on the left side of the building and car parking on the right. The vibe of the whole place was icky at best, and this is a rest stop I've been to countless times on my way back and forth to school. While the truck parking was better lit, we agreed to park in the car section. We took the safety in numbers approach, and I parked next to the only other car. As a middle-aged mom, I now understand how stupid that was. Ashley and I counted to three, got out of the car, and ran screaming bloody murder to and from the restroom. On the way back to my car, I noticed the other car had a hole in the back, and I thought, gross, probably smells like mildew in that trunk. I also noticed the two men, one fairly young, sleeping in their car, who was rudely awoken by two screaming 21-year-old girls. As quick as we arrived, we took off out of there like a bat out of hell back onto the highway. Once we returned to our apartment, we, probably, shared a bowl and went to bed. The next morning, it was on news stations across the country. The DC snipers were caught shortly after we left that rest stop. It all flashed back. The young man in the passenger seat. I didn't get a good look at the driver. The hole in the trunk. We screamed in the sleeping faces of the two men that spread fear in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. 20 plus years later, Ashley and I are still best friends and godmothers to each other's children, but we never discussed it. Recently, I asked her why we never discussed the truck stop after her grandmother's hospice visit. After a moment of silence, she said, "Oh my God. How did I forget about the snipers?" I'd made sure I didn't specifically mention the snipers. Our best guess is that she blocked it out of her memory. So there's my story of how I made the dumbest decision of my life, but was able to live to tell the tale.
That is so eerie because that car, you know, you're going to see that car on the news and be like, that's what I parked next to.
The trunk, the hole in the trunk really got me because that's what they were putting the gun through to shoot people. To see that and like clock it, because you're like, that's weird. Also, it probably smells, which I'm sure it did. But then knowing like, oh, later how sinister that whole why that was there was. Also, good for y'all for getting out of there, right? You know? And yeah, I mean, they were sleeping, luckily. I guess the thinking is if we scream, nobody's going to bother us, which I can appreciate. Sometimes you just make a big fucking scene. I recently just saw a TikTok about a lady having to do that at a very public place in Austin.
The Domain, right?
Yes. And nobody fucking helped her.
When someone says they need help, go fucking help them. Because guess what? Most time, bullies, attackers, stuff like that, they're terrified at being outnumbered. So they'll just leave. But also, I carry my Birdie personal alarm everywhere. And in a different separate video, someone was just like, this creepy guy was just staring at me at a park. And he's within like 10 feet. I would have just pulled that. I would just pull my personal alarm. It's so fucking loud. And it's like a bunch of people are going to look. And hopefully he'll leave. My ears might hurt. But it's just like, I'm done. You fucked up, everybody. You pushed us all too far. And we're fucking done. I will fight for every person I see that is being attacked or harassed or whatever, and I will fight for my fucking self. I am over it. I'm over people like pulling their dick out at a mall. Fuck no. We're going to point and be like, shame, 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 leave her alone. Diddy's going down. You're all going down.
Yeah. Diddy's going down as is half of Hollywood, I think. But yeah, the video, it was a girl at the Domain. And then when they caught the guy, the cops were like, yeah, we already had been looking for him because he had done it to five other girls that day, walking up and cornering them and pulling his dick out and assaulting them. Luckily, it didn't progress to like physical, but just being cornered and having a man that you know what his intentions are and is telling you that's his intentions. And she's screaming, looking around for people to help, and nobody fucking says anything. And I'm like, I don't get it. I can't imagine hearing a woman screaming like that and not helping. You know, I just, especially like you're at a place of business. There's other, like, call the somebody, that an employee or somebody. If you don't want to get involved, I get that if you're worried for yourself, but you can certainly call somebody or even from a distance be like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Get away. You know, just so she knows she's not alone. And he also knows he's being watched.
Exactly. I think that's like a very big deterrent when it's like people are paying attention. And that's what that righttobe.org, we always plug it. We talked about it in Kitty Genovese. And they do like online trainings if you're like, well, I'm not sure what I would even do. I found it so helpful. And they teach you like, if you don't want to intervene, if your safety feels threatened, here are like the five most important things in an emergency, just so you're like pre-trained that you're see somebody get harassed on the subway, at the mall, whatever. You know, like, okay, well, tactic A, B, and C won't work, but I can try tactic D and then try that. Okay, then tactic E. Well, that's my last resort. So just having that idea that we're all responsible for each other, I think. And, you know, we're all each other's keepers. So go get you some training at righttobe.org. And in that situation, when somebody's screaming, even if you're like, well, I don't want to go over there and get into a fight, you might be able to film it and give them the footage, you know, not upload to TikTok for likes, but come to them afterwards and say, hey, I saw what happened to you and I have this footage for you. You know, I'm willing to be a witness. Here's my information, whatever, stuff like that. I think I feel like when I go, I spend a lot of time at the lake running and at different like nature preserves. And I almost have this feeling of like, no, this is ours. This is for the good people. Like we're here for the good people. We're all on patrol. So be the slayer you want to see in the world, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I was walking to my car the other night and it was dark. And I was just like, if somebody approached me right now, like, I'll fucking whip your ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like that one Freaky Friday where the girl was like, I learned what the back of an eyeball felt like that night. Yeah. I was like, that is what I will be doing. Given the, you know, unless you're like blindsided, but I'm not the one, motherfucker. Yeah, I will break your fucking nose.
Yeah, there's some nights where I'm like, I'd like to fight tonight. You want to fuck with me? It's like a fight club. Like, I'll go to Target at 9 o'clock. You want to rumble, buddy? Let's fucking rumble, baby. I'll throw this shit on the ground. It ain't about my bags. You want to take the bags? You're not going to get away. I'm going to beat your ass. So you get that feeling, but not everybody has that. And that's why we got to be each other's keepers. And especially in this situation, like shout out to you for loving on your friend when her shitty boyfriend wouldn't take her to go see her grandmother in a hospice. And not only that, y'all face down like seriously some of the scariest mass killers that I remember when this was going on. And I just remember being like, are we in danger? My mom's like, no, you know, they're in another state, but like those people are all probably really scared. And just like, why are they doing this? And that's one that we might have to cover that one someday, just because it's so, it's just like one of those where it's like a myth in my head, you know, it's so legendary.
Yeah. I don't even know if they ever said a reason other than they wanted to wreak havoc and violence. But even though that wasn't happening here, what stuck with me is it could happen anywhere. And you're just driving to work and that's the end of it. Like, you know, you're literally just driving down the highway. It was terrifying.
Yeah. And like for Sarah's case, the chillingest parts a lot of times of these cases is hearing about the banality of evil, where like literally it is a sleeping dragon. Like this is a destructive, monstrous, murderous, violent force that's just... And you're like, it's like you're creeping past it, but you didn't even know at the time. It's so eerie.
Yeah. Well, good on y'all for being like, fuck it, we're causing a scene and getting out of there. And I bet you needed a bowl for sure after you found out who those guys really were.
Yeah, well deserved. Absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of monstrous, violent, demonic forces of violence, this next one's from not Delisa. She's fantastic. But the subject line is My Aunt's Recollection of Ken McElroy. Hello to my sinister sisters. Your coverage on the Ken McElroy case got me wondering if my aunts were living in the area at that time. I was born in 1985, so this all happened before my time. I do, however, remember as a child visiting my aunts who lived a few towns over in Maitland and Skidmore, Missouri. I've heard the case of Ken McElroy briefly covered on other shows, but it wasn't until you ladies covered it that I thought to ask my aunts if they knew Ken or lived there during the time. Turns out, yes, they both were living there at the time. I messaged my Aunt Barb, the one that lived in Skidmore, to ask, did you know Ken McElroy or live in the area when he was shot? She remembered it happening, but did not know who Ken was or had even heard of him before the incident. During the actual shooting, she said her father-in-law was at the tavern and quickly took cover underneath the pool table when shots rang out. She didn't remember much more, but she was very surprised to find out afterward that she lived less than a mile from Ken's house. Thankfully, she never had any actual run-ins with him. My Aunt Marlin, who lived in Maitland, remembered a lot more. I was talking to her on the phone when I asked her if she knew Ken McElroy. She casually says, oh yeah, your Uncle Terry and I used to have drinks with him at the bar. He was always joking with me that he was going to buy me a Cadillac one day. I was stunned to know she actually knew him. She had to be in her early 20s at the time, and I couldn't help but think how close to a predator she actually was. She talked about how her father-in-law and my Uncle Terry would help Ken out with odd jobs. They helped build a fence at his house, and when they were finished, Ken intended to pay them. He pulled out a flashlight and opened it up and started pulling bills out from inside. Ken said, just let me know when the amount looks right. As he continued to pull bills out and lay them on the table in front of my Uncle Terry and his dad. She didn't know the amount that actually ended up being paid them, though. During the shooting, she mentioned that my great-uncle Floyd was actually across the street at the gas station and saw all the men marching out of the tavern. Unfortunately, my Uncle Floyd has since passed, but would have loved to have been able to ask him questions about that time. One of the last things she mentioned was that after the shooting, she visited Trina and brought her and her kids some food. I think my Aunt Marlin was very lucky to never have seen Ken's bad side. I'm not really sure how much she believed about all the allegations against Ken, but did say law enforcement was afraid of him. She did think it was wrong for Ken to be dating young girls, if you can even call it dating. Not that it's okay, but I think it was common in small towns for young girls to be dating guys in their 20s or older. It seemed like some people were just as scared of Trina, too. I think Ken was good at manipulation and groomed these girls. I wish there was more someone could have done. Thanks for giving me a chance to share my story about my aunts if this makes it on the air. Your hard work and consideration will always show through. You girls really have built a small little community that I love being a part of. Keep it creepy.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sitting next to him at a bar. But isn't it weird how some people just didn't have that experience with him, even though we 100% know that he was a rural terrorist, as he was described as, for decades. But if you just had like a couple run-ins with him And he was charming. You may never know that about him.
You know, he hires your family members. He buys you a beer once in a while. He tells you he's going to buy you a Cadillac. You have like an inside joke with him. And especially because their newspapers weren't writing about what he was doing at the time. Mm-hmm. Like there weren't community bulletins going out. If you were victimized, you knew about it. And then if, you know, you were close to that person that was victimized. But otherwise, it was just your buddy Ken who like hired you to fix his fence. And that's so I think that helps color why he got away with it so long.
Yeah. I also wonder how many places he had money stashed.
Right? Just a flashlight.
He's just got, yeah, just all, I mean, who knows, you know? I mean, they're, I believe if I recall, their place ended up burning down. So a lot of money might have gone up with that. But that shows you also the type of guy he was, you know, just keeping shit, just a criminal, career criminal.
He didn't have a brokerage account where he was putting the cash in it. It was in, you know, buried in the ground or whatever. But that is very sweet that your aunt went over and, you know, made Trina and her kids some food. And I think that shows like it was a community that is sort of like morally, like, what do we do? This is like a mom and her kids, because they didn't kill her. You know, they ushered her to the bank and stuff. So that kind of like, well, I guess I'll bring her a covered dish. You know, what do you do when your husband's gunned down?
Yeah. She was a victim too. And, you know, we talked about in the episodes, went on to live a happy life and find a man that loved her. So once she was out from under his abusive reign of terror, she turned her life around. So I think were scared of her probably because she was associated with him. Mm-hmm. And she also, you know, she wasn't not guilty. She did a lot of his bidding for him. Again, though, I think under the oppressive thumb of like, yeah, you have to.
Yeah, that duress. Certainly. But, you know, I love to hear that your aunt still remember that. And that's so cool that you got to ask him about, you know, something related. We appreciate it. Well, thank you, Delisa. Sinisterhood will be right back.
The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This next one is from Nikki, and the subject line is Demon's Road, the Big Fat Nope. Hi, ladies. I recently discovered your podcast thanks to my boyfriend, and I've been binging it on my commute to and from work and on other long drives. I have a lot of Freaky Friday stories, as my boyfriend seems to attract paranormal shit, but this one happened most recently. So, let's get into it. A couple weeks ago, in mid-September, I was visiting said boyfriend in Huntsville, Texas, from where I live in the Houston suburbs. He had just moved into a new apartment, and we were beginning to do all things spooky. Well, not beginning to. We're always up for a trip to a cemetery and horror movie marathons. We watched As Above, So Below the first night because I listened to the Paris Catacombs episode on my way there, and my boyfriend and I visited the catacombs while we were in Paris a few years back. Fantastic episode, by the way. Earlier that week, I had done some research on some fun, creepy things to do in Huntsville. Turns out it's an old town, city, with a lot of history and a lot of spooky activity. I came across Martha's Chapel Cemetery and read it was possibly the most haunted cemetery in all of Texas. It's located down a gravel dirt road, nicknamed Demon's Road by the locals due to a gruesome car accident that happened there and the resulting hauntings. I wanted to check it out, but after reading stories about malicious spirits following people home, I decided against it. My boyfriend has lived in haunted houses his whole life, even through his 20s, and I did not want to taint his newly remodeled apartment with any spirits. As I said, he's highly sensitive to ghosties and cryptids, and we've had some bizarre experiences together. I told him about it, but said we probably shouldn't go. We had just gotten back from our first Sam Houston State University football game, where we'd had a blast. I was ready to curl up and watch a horror flick when he mentioned he wanted to check out Martha's Chapel, or at least drive by it. I tried to dissuade him, but he insisted he was up for it. So we hopped into my 2024 Subaru Outback and navigated towards our 7.5-mile trip to the cemetery. I noticed my car read there were 300 miles left in my tank, and we went on our way. We turned down Robinson Creek Road, the major road leading to Demon's Road. It was semi-paved and covered with gravel and dirt. The crescent-shaped moon was yellow and high, partly covered by clouds, and set the stage perfectly. We were listening to some of Johnny Cash's spookier songs and let Spotify take it from there. We felt safe and calm as there were scattered homes and ranches along the road. We were about 1.5 miles from our turn onto Demon's Road when my brights suddenly went off. No matter what I did to manually turn them back on, nothing worked. I noticed my headlights also seemed dimmer than usual, more yellow-toned. I was panicking that something was wrong with my brand new dream car because this had never happened before. After what felt like an eternity but was really only about 45 seconds later, my brights turned back on. It wasn't but 10 seconds after that when I saw a bright pair of glowing yellow eyes standing at the height of a person on the side of the road we were supposed to turn down. I know my Texas wildlife, and this set of eyes did not belong to anything familiar to me. I turned to my boyfriend and asked, "Did you see that?" He said, "See what?" And I left it alone and began to freak out a bit, but kept driving. We apparently missed our turn because I had looked at it about 7 minutes beforehand, and my navigation was telling me it would take 7 more minutes to get to the cemetery. We had missed our turn by a mile, so we found an old ranch road and turned around. As we were heading back, I noticed my car was not accelerating the way it should be. I had the pedal about halfway down, which usually sends it into turbo mode, but nothing happened. No matter how much I accelerated, my car would not surpass 24 miles an hour. It felt like I was towing something huge. Again, I was worried my car was either acting up or something more sinister was happening. We arrived at Demon's Road with my car still moving at a snail's pace. We were disturbed by everything leading up to this point, so we were unsure if we should make the turn. We did anyways. As soon as I turned down the road to check it out, I stopped my car and my brights went off again. My stomach did a complete flip. I let out a big, loud, fucking nope and reversed the hell out of there. As we were driving back, I looked for the place I saw with the glowing eyes. Turned out it was only about 20 feet before the turn down Demon's Road. Once we got past that point, my car started accelerating appropriately, and I sped up pretty quickly down that long road back. As I was talking to my boyfriend, everything added up. He said when we turned onto Demon's Road, he felt this weird twinge in the back of his head, and said if I hadn't turned around, he would have told me to. There was something sinister about the area, and we were being warned that it would not be a good time. I told him about the glowing eyes, and he told me I should have turned around then, as apparently those eyes only belong to cryptids or spirits or something malevolent. When we finally got back to his apartment, my car said I only had 200 miles left in my tank. Remember, it started at 300, and we'd only driven about 15 miles total. It was like my car had been towing something. At this point, I was worried that something had attached to my car. I got out and inspected it. It was covered in light dirt, but there was a giant, muddy, boot-like footprint on the rear driver's side door, as if someone was trying to use their leg as leverage to open my door. I was definitely not okay with any of this, and my stomach was turning all night. We even watched a couple of stand-up specials instead of our usual horror movies because we felt so uneasy about all of it. The next day, I refused to drive my car without cleansing it first. I looked everywhere in Huntsville for some sort of magic shop or tarot reading shop that might have something. No luck until I finally found something for sale at Walmart of all places. We went to Wally World and I cleansed the absolute fuck out of my car. I gave it a few hours to air out before driving home, and my car acted as it should. To be honest, it still needs a car wash, but I'll get around to it. So, that's my story, and I would absolutely love to know if any of your other listeners have actually made it to Martha's Chapel Cemetery and what their experience was like. As for my boyfriend and I, we are never going down that road again. I've attached a supposed zoom-in from a Google Street View photo taken with a creepy little girl peeking her head out from behind a tree. Some have said she haunts the cemetery. Thanks for taking the time to read this, and thanks for providing me with so much entertainment and laughter during my boring commutes. Keep it creepy, Nikki.
This picture is eerie. I just got to the picture.
Oh, shit. I just got to the picture. I hadn't seen it until we're recording. This is not in the draft. No, this is not in the draft I read. Holy shit, that is a kid behind the fucking tree.
It certainly looks like a little face peeking out. It could also be
like
a branch or part of, like, because it's kind of the same color as the tree, like the pareidolia effect. But it does look like a child's head peeking out from behind the tree, certainly.
Yeah, no, regardless of whether it was like a spirit or what, Nikki, imagine driving a brand new 2024 car and the shit starts like malfunctioning. I'd be like, God damn it. Yeah, I would wish it was a demon, because otherwise I'm like, they ain't going to cover this under the warranty. I got a lemon, man. I'm going to have to buy a new car.
I have never been to this cemetery. However, I will say Huntsville is where one of the prisons here is. Mm-hmm. And they like to say there, when the lights flicker, somebody on death row has met their end, because it is a prison that executes. So it wouldn't surprise me to know that this whole town has a bunch of sinister vibes to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It's a place of a lot of, you know, obviously Sam Houston State, eat 'em up cats.
Sure.
But you're right. I think when there is a concentration of kind of like energy like that and repeated regular death, and it's a road like this where it's been imbued with so much, you know, fear, you know, and I think there's something to be said about the energy that charges it, whether it's the energy of sorrow, the energy of like anger, of injustice, the energy of fear of this road or whatever. But here's the thing, that picture, that's a kid behind that tree. That's scary as fuck. I'm not going down there. I don't blame you, Nikki, but PSA, anybody that's been to Huntsville, right? Not just Huntsville, but that's been to the cemetery or Demon Road, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, for sure. We will share this picture on socials so you can decide, is it a case of pareidolia or is there a little kid that's haunting this cemetery peeking out from behind this tree? It certainly is creepy, whatever it is. And driving down an old gravel road to any cemetery in a, you know, desolate Texas town at night is one of the creepier things you can do. My best case, those eyes belong to a demon, because my fear is that you're entering into a hillbilly Texas Chainsaw Massacre situation.
Truly, I mean, I remember driving down a gravel road, old Holloman Road in Mesquite, and my friend's Jeep Liberty, like late at night, because it was always like, that's where the devil worshipers are, because it's Satanic Panic 90s. But I do remember driving down and we slammed on our brakes because a face turned and it was a couple of people on an old dirty mattress. And we were like, we're like the Scooby-Doo, like, we gotta get out of here. So when you don't want to go poking down an old gravel Texas road. As we say, Texas, where the chainsaws massacre. So stay on to the, even if you've got a good car, you know what I mean? She's got a brand new car. Mm-hmm. You think, well, I don't want to take my rickety ass paid off car down there, because, you know, things might, which I currently have a flat tire, but like, this is a totally brand new, and a Subaru, that shit's made for this. This is, and even
it's
that
an
was
Outback.
Busted.
It's made for the Outback.
All right, mate. So yeah. Yeah, if anybody else has had car trouble down old Demon's Road, I want to hear about it.
Yeah, send it into sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday.
Well, thank you, Nikki. Sinisterhood will be right back.
The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m.
Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's, we help you save.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Well, this last one is from Aaron, and the subject line is "My therapy guinea pig." And
this just is a heads the bubbles. Up.
Oh, yes. Here's your bubbles. Here's your bubbles. And just a quick heads up. This story does contain mention of pet loss. Aaron writes, "Hello, wonderful humans. Thank you so much for all the good you do for the world and others on a daily basis. The world is so much better with you in it. I was so happy to hear that Ella discovered the wonder of guinea pigs. They are the best pets for a million reasons and add so much sass, love, and cuddles to your life. I had the best, no offense, Luna and Pearl, guinea pig in the world. His name was Augustus, Augie for short, and he was a therapy pig. I was a child therapist for a few years. Now I'm a school social worker. And before that, I worked as floor staff at a mental health facility for youth who needed to work on being safe with themselves and others before being back in the community. Augie came with me to both jobs, and I had the privilege to witness some of the most unsafe children be so incredibly safe and gentle with him. Augie offered his cuddle services to children who experienced awful, traumatic events. When I was a play therapist, Augie came with me as well. I had a client who was working through a pretty severe speech impediment, and because of this, he was incredibly shy and pretty much nonverbal. The wonderful thing about animals is they don't judge. This little boy, every session, would build a pillow fort, snuggle in there with Augie, and quietly read him books. By the end of my time with him, he became quite talkative in the therapy room. It was so special witnessing this little boy build his confidence with Augie's support. There are many wonderful ways Augie positively impacted my own life and the lives of so many kids. We got to teach children about nonverbal communication through observing Augie's body language and interpreting how he was feeling, what he liked or disliked, what he wanted, etc. He truly was incredibly patient with kids and a little sassy with other adults. When I first started dating my now husband, Augie would square up and posture at him in what I believe was a, "She's my mom, back off, we don't need you," sassy voice. I consider Augie to be my familiar, my literal soul outside my body. Losing him at the ripe age of 7 years destroyed me, and I still have a pretty big wall up around losing him. This motherfucker even survived a cancer mass removal surgery. This is the first time I've written about him and looked through pictures since losing him almost 6 months ago. I've kept many of his favorite things, and I have more I have in a box for donation, but I haven't been ready to part with them. I feel like hearing about Ella getting pigs is a sign from the universe to gift these things to a fellow animal lover like her. If you would like, I have a tunnel, a bumblebee bed, precious, a baby sling, he loved to go with me everywhere and was attached to my hip, and a cool fort with a ramp if you, Christy, would be okay with me sending it. If not, I feel ready to donate it to my local shelter as well. I've attached probably too many pictures of Augie, including him in his cowboy outfit, him and the therapy dog at work where we are cowboy, him and the therapy dog at my work were cowboys together for Halloween. He had the craziest hair that I had to cut during summer to keep him cool. If you read this on the pod, oh my God, play it cool. That'd be rad. If not, I'm thankful I got a chance to share his life with you two and start the healing process. P.S. Yes, I know guinea pigs should have a partner. I tried to bond my little man with other male guinea pigs multiple times, but he would not have it. He absolutely did not want anything to do with another pig. He was a complete and utter mama's boy.
Oh, this is so precious. You could never send too many pictures of this sweet little babe. Look at him in his little cowboy outfit.
That cowboy outfit is incredible.
Oh my gosh. Oh. First of all, thank you so much. We would, of course, love to honor Augie's memory by incorporating those things with our little guineas here. That's so very thoughtful and sweet of you. And we will do Augie justice.
Yeah, we'll get my brother-in-law at High Proof. We get him to say the Augie Memorial Ramp. Aww. And like make a little plaque, yes, for it, so it can be in Augie's honor. Because, yes, what a sweet, this is not just a sweet guinea pig. This is not just a cute guinea pig, but this is such a magical guinea pig. Mm-hmm. Imagine that kid can now talk to other kids easy because Augie let him read to him. Yeah.
Therapy animals are incredible. It really is a special animal. I've never had an animal that I thought would be a good therapy animal because, well, Kate would be good once she chills the fuck out. Then she will like lay down. But it is a certain demeanor that animals have to have. And guinea pigs, that's very unusual because from my limited experience with them, they can be a bit skittish and take a while to warm up to people. And oftentimes they don't like being held or handled. But Augie was clearly a special one, and they usually are best with a companion, but his companion was his human. He was not a normal guinea pig. He was a very special guinea pig, and I hope that you take comfort knowing how many people, not just Augie, but you helped too, how many kids, because it is so true. Animals don't judge. They're not going to tell you talk weird or judge you for what you've been through. They're just there to be loved and love you back. And no matter what kind of trauma people have been through, there's something about an animal that really cuts through that, like the parolees and pit bulls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, even some of the most hardened criminals, when you introduce an animal into the mix, it just changes the game. And Augie was that for so many. So, Aaron, you are, I know you're hurting from, it's never easy to lose a little fur baby, and he was clearly so much to you, but he will be honored, I promise.
Yeah, and remembered. Yeah, I love that so much that you got to have him, but you shared him with other people too, and I think that's the other beautiful thing about our pets is that, you know, they don't just bring us joy, they bring a ton to so many other people, so thank you for sharing that and being our bubbles this week. And like Christy said, we know you're still hurting losing a pet, and how you describe Augie is how I feel about the goose. She's like my soul outside my body. She's like attached physically on me all day long, all day, every day, like probably waiting outside the door for me to finish recording.
Also, squares up when Paris gets a little too close.
My mom was over today and he walked in the room and she's like, what's her problem? And I was like, it's just every day. She just squares up against everyone. I was like Googling it, like, what can we do? And it was like, well, you can calm their demeanor by giving them treats. Paris goes, I'm not going to reward that.
No.
I was like, she's just a chihuahua. I did the doggy how old are they test today. So I mailed it off. So we'll see how old she really is. But that's so many years to be side by side with your familiar. So thank you for sharing the love. And we're going to share Augie with everybody because this is a baby that's going to brighten everybody's day. Happy Friday.
So cute.
Happy Friday.
And we got to share a picture of Augie in his cowboy costume on our socials as well, because that will brighten anybody's day. And the fact that also a dog was dressed up, I can't. That's just so cute. Like I said, we have 3 costumes, and I'm really hopeful at least one of them will let me put one of them on.
I'm sure. I can't wait to see that alien costume on.
I know. It's going to be funny. The dragon? Come on. Running around with little dragon wings flapping? I'm going to die. It's so cute.
Incredible.
They are very cute. I'm very new to the GP game, but they are very sassy and funny, and their noises are just like, they're like little, like, I keep calling them little minions because they're just like beep, 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 in the background. They're very cute and sweet.
And their little faces are so expressive.
Oh my gosh.
Like these pictures, he's making a different face in every picture. It's so funny. So
they're
very
sweet.
Man, animals, they're I think they're more conscious than we know, than we give them credit for. So, well, thank you. And we hope you're out there cuddling your fur babies if you have them. And if not, you know, thinking fondly on the ones you've had in your life. But sweet, sweet Augie, you will be remembered.
You will. Thank you so much, Erin, for sending that in. And again, for sending Ella and all of us Augie's favorite things. That is so sweet. All of, just as an aside, once again, on the last leg of our tour, we were told at every venue, y'all's fans are just yes. the nicest people out there. And not a lot of comedians have that luxury at their show. I mean,
turns out.
I've been to a lot of comedy shows, and a lot of times it's just drunk assholes yelling stuff from the crowds. And nobody ever does that. And we always get so many compliments about just how lovely everybody is. And this is just another example of how we really do have the best community of listeners on the whole internet.
We do. Thank you all. Yeah, that's, you're right. The staff will come in and like literally like clutch their chest and be like, your fans are the nicest. Like they come in like almost shocked. It's an excited, like they come in, they're like, oh my God.
It's everyone an excited was just, utterance. Yes, so we like, have to believe it.
It's true. They just were like, everyone's just so nice. So I'm like, that is a testament to all y'all. So thank y'all for being here, for being a part of the community, for letting us do this wacky thing that we do. Cause we couldn't do it without you.
Absolutely. And thank you so much to everyone that sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 900 hours of bonus content. And there's never been a better time to do it, Heather.
Now is the time. October is the time to join. It is a deal we've got going on now through Halloween. We are giving 2 months free on any annual Patreon membership. This deal is both for new members, so tell your friends, and current monthly members who want to switch to an annual subscription. It's the best deal we've offered on our Patreon, so it's 16% off. And now is the time to lock in the best price on that the yearly membership. It's only available to new annual memberships. Current annual memberships are not eligible for the discount. The offer ends October 31st, so don't miss out. And when you join, you get so much. Like monthly live streams, those weekly audio bonuses that Christy was talking about, monthly minisodes, merch discounts, the beautiful, wonderful community that we've built here, but also ad-free episodes, which I left it to the end because there's something special with our ad-free episodes right now.
Oh, Tommy, it was working up until the final minutes getting all of those up on Patreon, but now we have all of our episodes uploaded on Patreon, ad-free. So if you don't have to like go in and out of the app anymore to listen to, you know, some that did have ads because we didn't have them up yet, they're all there now.
They're all there. Because any episodes that came out before Patreon were not on Patreon. Yeah. So Tommy went back and added the whole archive. So all episodes are up there. And as a special gift to our free members, not just free trial members, like if you just join for free to see what we're up to next, episodes up through 50 are available to listen to ad-free for free. So all you have to do is join Patreon at the free tier, get that Patreon app, and you should be able to listen to the first 50 episodes of Sinisterhood ad-free for everyone. And you also get a once monthly bonus content for just being a free member. So get on there and get your free stuff.
Do it. Yeah. And then you can also do a free trial for a week at any tier. And if you cancel before the trial's up, you don't get charged. But this is the best time to do it because you do a free week. Then you sign up. Then you get 2 months free. I love to stack a coupon deal to where I'm just maximizing my discounts. And this is truly the best time of the year because it's the best time of the year.
Yes, it's Halloween. Her favorite. we TBD on what they're going to be, but we've also got some special spooky stuff going on Patreon that we will announce very shortly. But another perk is our merch discounts for patrons. So head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch, like t-shirts, mugs, like this wonderful So What Do We Think mug I'm drinking out of right now, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And be sure to check the pinned post on Patreon for members of the Ruling the Airwaves and Getting Into It tier to get your merch discount. So it's just more deals.
Mm-hmm. While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links. I can't even say links anymore. Link. to our final full moon energy show in Dallas on October 17th, sinisterhood.com/live shows.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch full video versions of our Wednesday episodes and a story a week from our Freaky Friday over on YouTube, plus clips of the show on our TikTok page, and order custom video shout outs just for yourself or the Sinisterhood fan in your life at Cameo, where we can do a happy birthday, happy anniversary, congrats, advice, pep talk, any kind of video you can probably think of. We'll probably do it. Go to cameo.com and ask us. It's worth asking at least. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO, where you can see all of my reposts of everything from the Nutter Butter page to Bashar's predictions about this year's election.
Nobody does it like you the way that you do.
No. That Hoover song, slapped man, it. There was a 90s nostalgia commercial, and I was like, Hoover did not have to go this hard, but God damn. Is that a jam. It was like a full ass song. And every time I hear those, I'm like, somebody went into a recording studio and had to record this.
It's how I feel about 90s TV theme songs. Mm-hmm. Like, for whatever reason, Step by Step hit fucking song.
Yeah.
Full House hit fucking song. Perfect mm-hmm. Strangers, if you turn that shit on, I come alive. If I'm in a coma, mm-hmm. play the Perfect Strangers song, and I will wake up and I'm like, no, 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 no. So fuck. Anyways, all that's to good. Say, I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No